Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Liz Promise. Glad to have you along today. Well, if you just tuned in, you missed my earlier conversation with Liz Curtis Higgs, best-selling author and speaker. We talked about God's power to redeem a story. So if you're still sorting through the wreckage of your pain, of ashes from a relationship fallout, or you've made choices of your own that has made you feel like that there's no turning back, there's no turning around, guess what? God wants to redeem your story. If you need a word of encouragement, go back and catch the podcast. It'll be up on our website in just a bit at myfaithradio.com. Well, now we're switching gears to talk to my very dear friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley. I love these two. I love their family. I've spent plenty of nights sitting on their back deck looking at Pikes Peak and talking about all kinds of stuff. I just love them. They've got lots of books combined together. And this one, they're general editors of. It's titled Ready to Wed, 12 Ways to Start a Marriage You'll Love. So we're going to be talking specifically to you if you're thinking of getting married, if you're engaged on your way to getting married. But hey, if you've been married for a lot of years, what they have to talk about today applies to you as well, because these are adjustments, mid-course adjustments you can make to have a better marriage. So if you're married or you want to be married, today's show is for you. So let me not waste another minute. Let me tell you about my friends, and we'll get them on the show. Dr. Greg Smalley serves as Executive Director of Marriage and Family Formation at Focus on the Family. Erin Smalley's an author and speaker based in Colorado Springs, and she works with her husband doing marriage intensives and seminars, also on staff at Focus on the Family. They live in Colorado with their three daughters, Taylor, Murphy, and Annie, and their son Garrison. You can find their influencer page up on our website at myfaithradio.com. Dear Greg and Aaron, welcome back to the show.
Thanks
for having us.
Good to be back with one of our very best friends.
Oh, that's so sweet. I don't think you mean that.
I'm talking about Matt, your producer, but you're here as well.
I'll take it. I am talking about Susan.
Oh, you were. Are we on?
I like her better. I just got to say it. I like your wife better than I like you. But anyway.
Hey, that's a story of my life right there.
Yeah, isn't that the truth? Well, you guys have been on enough to know that we love talking scripture to start out. And I know you both love God's word. And so, Aaron, I'll start with you. Is there either a life verse or just a verse you've been thinking about these days that you can share with us?
And it goes right in line with what we're talking about. Malachi 2:15 says, God, not you, made marriage. His spirit inhabits even the smallest details of marriage. So guard the spirit of marriage within you.
Isn't that great? Wow.
And I just love it, especially in light of everything that's going on in our world around marriage and in our country, that God made marriage, man didn't. And that he inhabits just the smallest details of marriage. So the things that we're struggling with, just everything about our marriage, God is there and he's part of it.
He cares about it. Love that passage. Mm. What about you, Greg?
Well, in that she stole the verse that I was going to do.
Think quick, Greg.
Let me think. All right, how about John 13:34, which says that a new commandment that I give you, that you love one another, just as I have loved you, you are also to love one another. And I love when Jesus is talking that he actually calls that a new commandment. You know, I think in the Old Testament, you know, that it was solely about loving God. And so here he's expanding on that, and of course expanding on the greatest commandment, and really talking about this here. I'm giving you this new commandment, just as I have loved others. I want you to do that. And I think when we think about this idea of getting ready to wed, I mean, that, you know, the greatest thing that we can do, our destiny inside of a marriage, is to really to learn how to love well. And so I think for me, that's become one of my life verses, just going, hey, I want to be like Christ. I want to love others like he did. What does that then practically look like, especially for a newlywed or an engaged couple?
You know, one of the things I love so much about both of you is the transparent way that you wrestle through the things of life so that others can learn from you. And you have some pretty hilarious stories from your early years of marriage, but also some really heart-wrenching, honest stories about, you know, the expectations maybe you had and how it turned into kind of an explosion and how you learned to rebuild and build even a stronger marriage. That combined with all these years of experience of being married 20 plus years and ministering to couples on the verge of absolute divorce or whatever, you've been able to look back and see common mistakes, common roadblocks, marriages that end that didn't have to end. Maybe start there and just maybe identify a couple of the most common reasons a marriage ends, maybe even shortly after it begins, that it doesn't have to. Aaron, I'll start with you. If just any thoughts about, as you're looking back over your experience as a marriage expert, what have you seen?
You know, I would go right back to where Greg and I started. There was so much that we did not know entering into marriage. And just simply, you know, taking time to do premarital counseling prior to getting married, that, you know, it would have equipped us so much with the things that we didn't know. We didn't know how to handle conflict. We didn't know how to, you know, validate each other's feelings. We didn't know we just didn't know a lot, and how to handle finances. And, you know, I just think that a lot of marriages, they don't start on equal ground because they don't take time to prepare for this lifelong commitment, this lifelong marriage that, you know, why would you not want to prepare for this? And we didn't. We didn't do a great job with that.
And why would you think you'd succeed if you don't prepare? Sorry, Greg, but why would you think for a minute that this is going to be forever if you have no intention of building some kind of foundation?
You know, I think that we just all believe that, hey, I'm in love. This is going to work out. We're pledging a lifelong commitment to each other. We'll figure this out along the way. It actually, what's funny is it reminds me of something that I just went through with my daughter, Murphy. And Murphy, who's turning 18, one of her dreams was to hike the Colorado Trail. So it's this gorgeous trail kind of through the Rocky Mountains. And so she's like, Dad, before my senior year, hey, let's do this. And so I'm going, man, just to hang out with you, whatever. If it's hiking, I didn't even know what I was signing up for. Basically,
it wasn't ballet.
That would have been fun. Greg in a tutu.
Hey,
there
are
Facebook.
Pictures somewhere.
Yeah.
Out there.
Yeah.
Probably close to that. And so, you know, what's funny is that, so she wants to do this, so I agree to do this. And I put virtually no time into thinking this through. What was the right equipment? What's the route? Where are we going to get water? What's the best? Is it better to sleep in a hammock or a tent? I mean, none of that. I just sort of, hey, I love the idea. Let's go for it. Borrowed a backpack, sleeping bag. Of course, the guy that lent me the sleeping bag actually gave me his wife's. So that first night when it was like 30 degrees, I can barely zip up my sleeping bag past my chest. I look
Bad
like a drumstick,
a
an ice cream cone.
Anyway, sorry.
But honestly, I mean, I was clueless and yet just kind of went for it. And I think that so many couples kind of start that. It's not that I didn't think that this was important, this hike, that it's probably dangerous, that I really need to figure some things out. I just got busy planning, getting supplies together, just really didn't put hardly any preparation in. I tell you, we set off. So Aaron drops us off. So we have 32 miles to hike into Breckenridge, Colorado. And so we were probably 20 minutes into the hike. So we get to this little creek. I mean, it's a tiny little creek. And so Murphy's like, oh, it's a little too far to jump. I'm like, no, this is easy. I said, let me show you. Well, I have a 50-pound pack on, so I get,
so
I get a running start, and I'm just lumbering. And I go to take off, and I'm telling you, I didn't go but 3 inches in the air, straight into the creek.
Oh, my goodness.
So now we've just started, and I'm sopping wet. I mean, my shoes are wet. I'm wet. And so basically, she used me as a bridge just to kind of climb over. But, you know, I mean, it was this. There's so much that happened to me that just parallels, you know, what engaged couples go through here. Mm-hmm. Again, the destination for them is that wedding. For us, it was Breckenridge, 30 miles away. All their thoughts and preparation was for that moment. And yet so many people don't think beyond the wedding day and flowers and dresses and all those things.
You make such a good point. I mean, really what you two are both very committed to is training people to get ready, because you need to train. You need to focus. You need to be compatible travelers together. And yet so often it's the emotion of love. Well, we'll work it out. And it's absolutely crazy.
Well,
when you
meaning.
Think, right. But it is crazy when you think, I'm making a vow before God and to you and before man to do this long, to last, you know, to not divorce. And the fact that it happens so flippantly when we don't feel it anymore is so heart-wrenching. But that is not totally surprising if you're not putting thought into it. And one of the points that you want young people to understand, but I think those who've been married a while should understand this as well, and it might be even revelatory for some, is that you don't need your spouse. Your job is to love, not be loved. Because so often that's the catalyst. I don't feel the love, therefore I am absolved from any choice that I make. So I want you both to speak to that. Erin, we'll go with you first.
Mm-hmm. It is. I mean, it's such our culture that just breeds this idea that, you know, I need him and I need him to behave a certain way so I feel good. And the truth is that we are fully loved in Christ. He has met every need to be loved in him. Mm-hmm. When you think about scripture, doesn't talk about, you know, how can we get others to love us? It's all about how do we love others? And so I, you know, this really has been kind of a paradigm shift in our relationship of just realizing that our job in marriage is to love our spouse. And I'm not saying, you know, if there's abuse going on, you know, there's boundaries that need to be set, but how do we best love someone? You know, in when we marry, we make the vow to love them in sickness and in health, and, you know, during the hard times and the times that they can't love us in return, we are still called to love them. How do we do that?
And if you're focused on, I'm sorry, Greg, if you're focused on being loved, then that's going to slant your whole perspective of your spouse. But go ahead, pick it up from there, Greg.
No, I was going to say that exact thing. See, for me, what Erin was saying was life-changing. And I didn't understand this. I spent so much of my time, effort, and energy in our early years of marriage trying to get Erin to love me in certain ways.
Mm-hmm. He said
why don't you
early
think about
years.
That for a moment,
like,
before you answer?
What does early years entail? Like, where was that cutoff point?
Last weekend. But anyway.
Yes, anyway.
My
he
whole
was on
life.
The Colorado Trail.
But you got it now, Greg. That's the important point.
Yes.
20
yeah,
years
exactly.
later, you got this.
This isn't black or white. But I did spend many moments trying to get her to make me feel successful. I you know, for me, one of the big needs that I really perceive that I have was just wanting to be affirmed, just really wanting Erin to tell me that I was doing a good job, or that I was successful, or that I did this right, or hey, I noticed you actually took the cereal bowl and you moved it close to the sink. Wow, good job. Thank you.
Way to go.
You know, but I mean, it's just so much. I mean, I would clean a room, or I'd clean out the garage, and I'd go running to Erin, and you got to look and see what happened. And I just would be bouncing there like a little dog, with my tongue wagging, waiting for her to, you know, pet me on top of the head and say, good job, boy. Yeah, you did a great job cleaning. But there's nothing wrong with that. I think my problem was that I really wasn't looking to God to fill that need, that I really saw Erin as the source of that. And so if I felt she was being critical, if I felt she was being, you know, judgmental, whatever, oh man, that would hit me, and we'd get into arguments, and I would just even try harder to get her to affirm me. And I think that's the difference, is that that affirmation truly has to come from God.
Yeah.
God may, and God will use Erin plenty along the way to affirm me. But, you know, even last night, Okay, so why are we in two marriage small groups?
This is not the time.
We're going to discuss that later.
We are in two. What does that say? we were in one of our marriage small groups.
One of our many groups. Mm.
And actually going through Jimmy Evans. He has a video series.
Yeah,
Indestructible
it's phenomenal.
Love.
Mm. Indestructible.
Yeah.
It's phenomenal.
It is. Mm-hmm. Absolutely go watch that. Very, very good. But we were driving home last night and just in the car just talking. And she just said, hey, by the way, she goes, you did this today for me. We had this conversation early in the morning to where she just was working through something. So I was just listening and helping her think through it. And she said, you did such a great job as you listened and you didn't try to control what I was going to say. And anyway, it so reminded me of how much I love that. I mean, I'm just driving, mm-hmm. just beaming, you know, waving at people, you know,
but doesn't it mean,
beautiful day, you know,
doesn't it mean that much more, Greg, when you're already getting your source, when you've got your source straight, when your source is in Christ Jesus? To me, it's the cherry on top of the sundae, so to speak, but it's not the sustenance of your meal.
Totally.
Right?
And my point was, is that as Aaron was saying that, I really was going, God, thank you.
Hmm.
That I know that's coming from you.
That's awesome.
And it's a huge difference. And that's, I think that's, you know, you're ready to wed if truly God is your source. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I know that, that's a journey and, you know, we're not all there, but that would be one of the things that as an individual I want to ask myself is truly is God the source of my life?
Good word. And we talked about this lots of times before, getting it, separating and identifying that God is the source, your spouse is a gift. When they become a source, that you're asking them to fulfill something in you that they were never intended to, and you'll drain them dry. Talking to Greg and Aaron Smalley, my dear friends, talking about their brand new book, Ready to Wed, 12 Ways to Start a Marriage You'll Love. I'm going to open the phone lines just a couple times. We've got a few copies to give away. I want to give them as much time as possible. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, or email Susie@myfaithradio.com.
Here we stand, here we are, with all our wounds and battle scars, from all the storms and all the wars we've weathered together.
I want that song at my funeral. It's so amazing. One of the most amazing marriage songs I've ever heard by Stephen Curtis Chapman. He talks about climbing hills together, crawling through the valley together, and here we are. After all these years, we're still together. And that's really the goal. I know that's a cry of your heart to fight for marriages. I love that so much about you two. Celebrating Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley's new book, Ready to Wed, 12 Ways to Start a Marriage You'll Love. I see some calls coming in. We'd love to get a copy in your hands. We've got four copies to give away. My question for you, unless you've got a question for the Smalleys, is what piece of advice do you have for newly married or about to be married couples? What piece of advice do you have? Otherwise, we'd love to get you in. Should we take, is number one, call one ready? Yeah, let's take Bonnie from St. Paul, see if she's got a question for you today. Bonnie, welcome. You're on the air.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah.
My question is about finding materials for couples who don't fit the stereotypes. So, for example, my husband, we've been married for just over 20 years. He's the one that talks, and I'm not. And so when we get in a conflict, and I want to just be quiet, just leave me alone, and he's following me around talking. Hmm. But all the marriage materials are the opposite. And they talk about the husband, you need to share more. And does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. What do you guys say?
Bonnie, that's a great question. Mm-hmm. You know, I would say it this way, who cares? Who cares that you guys are different than what someone would say? Here's the norm. It doesn't matter. It's that the point is that what does that look like then within your marriage, and what do you guys do about it? And I think one of the best things that you can do is the more you guys can talk about how you deal with conflict. It's a fancy word called meta communication. It's talking about how we talk about communication. In so I would encourage you, you know, sometime when you're not in conflict, so you just say, hey, let's sit down. I'd love to talk about something. So in those moments to where, you know, we have a disagreement or frustrated with each other, one of us is hurt. You know, for me, I'm, you might say that you're not a, you know, external processor. you know, Erin is an external processor. She likes to talk so she can figure out what is actually going on. See, that's not me at all. Mm-mm. I like to get a little bit of separation, sort of ponder, think about what was really going on, and get some perspective. I don't like just to start talking and throwing words out there, but Erin does. Mm-hmm. And so the more that we can, though, talk about those differences and truly value them, I mean, that's a great thing. I tell you, if it was just me on my own, I mean, I probably wouldn't ever talk. And so having Erin there to draw that out of me is a good thing.
In essence, you're saying that I, you know, can talk a lot and you would stay
in a good
quiet
way.
But you know what? Truly, he brings so much balance to me, because if I was allowed to just go on and on and on and on, because which I have the capability of, he brings so much balance to me because I want to hear what he has to say. I desire that. And it brings such a beautiful balance to our relationship. Really, most of the stereotypical things they say about men and women, you know, 80% of the time, you know, 70 to 80% of the time, they're true, or they're typical in a marriage. But, you know, they're not always. And so the fact that your situation is different, just know that that's okay. That's, it's, you know, it just is different than what the stereotypical is.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry. I was just wondering if your book, Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage, might be good for them. We might have an extra copy on our shelf, because you're really addressing that conflict as the doorway to intimacy and skills to approach conflict. So then in that mm-hmm. case, I don't think it really matters which side, if you're an external processor or not, because you address the excesses on both of those, right?
Absolutely. And Bonnie, I think as you guys really talk about, hey, here's what we both want. You're pursuing me because you want to talk it so that we're reconnected. I like a little bit of space so I can get some perspective so that we can get back together. I think you guys both want the same thing ultimately. How you get there, though, is very mm-hmm. different. Mm-hmm. Keep talking about that, and you may just, you know, come up with a plan and just say, you know what? I can't talk in those moments. I need 10, 15 minutes just away. Let me spend some time with the Lord. Let me get my thoughts together. But I will be back. We will have this conversation. We will reconnect. Because oftentimes that's all that the pursuer needs to know mm-hmm. is that, hey, we'll go through this. I'm not just going to go off and withdraw. We'll sit down once I'm sort of get some perspective. We'll talk this through. Is that the kind of conversation that you guys could have?
Yeah, that's always his complaint. That's his complaint, that you don't come back. So I give you space and you don't come back.
Yeah.
You know, and I say, but I'm not ready yet. Well, when will you be ready? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. And you can see, we have to go to a break here in just a moment, but you sure can see, if that remains open-ended, how unsafe that would feel for an external mm-hmm. processor. So maybe, to be fair to him, if you could set a boundary for yourself to say, not next Christmas, like this afternoon. mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
I would make it a real hard and fast rule, Bonnie. Yeah. Just go, listen, if I'm asking for some space, then I will be the one to get us back. And you just make that commitment. You do whatever you need. And again, praying, spending time with the Lord, that tends to get a heart back open. You do what you need and then come back. And I promise over time, you guys will fall into that routine that'll work for you.
Bonnie, thank you for that call. And we'll either give you a copy of Ready to Wed, or we'll look for Fight Your Way to a Better Marriage. Erin calling in from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. I want to get to you. I hope you can hang on. I appreciate your question. If you can't hang on, I think I've got it on the screen, but I'd rather you ask it of the Smalleys. We're only going to take a really short break. We'll be back with Dr. Greg and Erin Smalley. We welcome your questions, relationship questions. Let's fight for marriage. Let's fight for our families. 877-933-2484. We'll be right back. You know, know, the closer we walk with Jesus, the more we let him have access to our soul and our story. He heals those wounds. He puts us right where we're thinking wrong. He replaces lies with the truth. The more you as an individual walk intimately with God and let him change your life from the inside out, the better prepared you are to have a marriage that will thrive and go the distance. So glad you tuned in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise. So honored to have my dear friends, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley on today, celebrating a brand new book from them, Ready to Wed, 12 Ways to Start a Marriage You'll Love. I love seeing all these calls come in, 877-933-2484. We've got a few copies to give away. I'm thinking we know somebody where we could get a few more if we need to. Aaron is calling in from Milwaukee, Wisconsin. He's got a great question for you today. Aaron, thanks for holding, and you're on the air.
Hi, everybody. I just this kind of stuff just grabs me when I hear it on the radio and when I hear it in general, just because I'm at the age where I'm ready to propose to my girlfriend, and I got the ring, and I'm ready to talk to her dad, and I'm so excited about all this. But the whole you're part of a church, and you're going to pre-marriage classes, but it just feels like you're going through the motions sometimes, and you're really looking for just an outlet or somewhere to find this type of advice, this type of learning, this type of sound help when it comes to how to prepare and how to get ready and what to do for getting ready for a marriage like this. And it's just, I find it so hard to find legitimate sources of help. And I just was really hoping that you might be able to point me in a good direction to just help, you know, make that fire larger and just contribute to what I can learn even more before I get into this lifelong commitment.
Well, Aaron, I love that question. First of all, there's a lot of legitimate help. I would say at Focus on the Family and the Smalley Resources, you get a copy of Ready to Wed, 12 Ways to Start a Marriage You'll Love. They address money, personalities, intimacy, relationships, chores, everything. You're going to love. This is like a ready-to-go manual, but I'd love for the Smalleys to speak to it. Go ahead, you guys.
You know, first, Aaron, I just want to just commend you that I love that you are, you know, wanting to prepare and wanting to plan and wanting to be equipped, because so many couples don't. Maybe it's not that they don't desire it. They just don't do it because of the busyness of life. And it's awesome that you are seeking this information. But also, I love that you're going to talk to her dad. Mm. It seems in this day and age, so many couples, again, are losing the importance of that, of honoring their parents. And so I just love what you're saying, what you're doing. And so the great news is that this Ready to Wed book is not just a book. It is actually a DVD curriculum and an app. And within the DVD curriculum, there's 10 video sessions, DVD sessions. And we pulled from the greatest experts in the nation, but also we brought in couples that have been recently married or they were currently engaged, talked to them about all these topics. And so they're giving feedback, and you're interacting with them on the DVD. And then the experts are also giving you their response to it. So it's a great tool, and it can be used with a pastor, with a counselor. And the biggest thing we encourage you to do is to get a mentor couple, somebody who will walk with you through your engagement period and then through the first year of your marriage.
Well, that's good. I tell you, Aaron.
He's really attracted to her right now.
Wow. Can we take a quick break?
I knew it. I knew it.
He
was going to say, I need a minute
this.
With my wife. All right.
Hey, Aaron is the dad of three girls. I pray that a young man will sit before me someday, like you're talking about. And, you know, as you said that, it made me think, what would I really want him to say? You know, here's what I would love. I'd give anything for a young man going after one of my girls to go, Greg, I want you to know that I love your daughter, but the true love of my life is Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And I've given my life to him, that he will always be my priority, that I love your daughter, and I want you to know that I'm choosing her for an absolute lifetime, that divorce isn't an option, that we will stay together. We're going to hit good times and bad times, hard times, awesome times, all of that. But I want you to know that I am a man of my word, and that when I stand up and I pledge my lifelong love to her, that I want you to know that's it. That there is no going back. And then I think the third thing, I would be so impressed with this young man if he said, and you know what? And I get that the greatest, my one and only job in this marriage is to sacrifice for your daughter. And I will spend a lifetime sacrificing. And I love the idea of sacrificing literally means that you give up something that you consider valuable. So maybe your time, your money, your whatever, something that you consider valuable for someone else who you consider to be more valuable.
Amen.
And I feel like, boy, if you stood before me and you, then I could see your heart for God, that I could see that you, this is a lifelong commitment and there is no going back. That you know, Cortez, the old Spanish explorer, when they got to looking for the Aztec gold, right when they got there, they burned their ships. In other words, he was saying, we are so committed to going forward that we're eliminating any other option for going back. Man, if you stood before me and said, I burned the ships, this is it. I choose her for a lifetime, and I will spend that lifetime sacrificing for her, man, I would
you'd be toast.
Die and go to heaven right there.
Wow, Aaron, did you want to ask anything?
The only reason that I have found myself with this woman is by the pure grace of God and his plan for me. I thought I had it all figured out, and I went across the country to connect with an old girlfriend, and she shut me down in 2 days. And I broke down and lost it. I said, God, that's it. I can't control it. I don't want to control it. I'm tired of controlling it. Every time I control it, I fail. And so it's your turn. And you led me all the way to here we are now. And
wow.
It's been beautiful. And I just want to stay with that so much, because the number one thing I found is that when I actually do trust, when I actually do tithe, when I just say, Lord, it's in your hands, you do it, he does it. And yeah. I need to know more.
Amen. Mm-hmm. I like you, Aaron. And you get a copy of Smalley's book, and you're going to love it. And we wish you God's best. I kind of hope you call back and tell us how it goes, all right?
Yes, absolutely. I'd love to hear.
I appreciate that. I really do. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
That'd be amazing. Thank you. Bless you. Suzanne's checking in from Minneapolis. She's been on hold for a bit. I appreciate that so much. She's got a question for you. Suzanne, welcome. You're on the air.
Thank you. My husband and I have a 21-year-old daughter who is in a fairly serious relationship, and they are both believers. But we have had a few concerns that we've brought forth to our daughter just out of love, thinking that, you know, that she needs to think about a few things. And I'm just wondering if you have any tips for parents of adult children that are kind of getting ready for marriage, how we can support our kids or things that we should be doing. You know, you don't want to be over-involved, but yet kind of want to be supporting them through this process. So any tips for parents?
Yeah, Suzanne, that's a great question. Mm-hmm. You know, the research does support that one of the factors that's important as a couple walks into marriage is that their family, their parents, their close friends are in support of this marriage. In other words, when Aaron and I have plenty of times when doing premarital counseling, we will always ask, tell us about how your parents feel about this wedding. How do your close friends, you know, how do your siblings? And that would be a huge, huge red flag if this couple, if the parents especially, really said, we're not in support of this. We would beg, we would plead with this couple, take a break, go really understand from your parents what's this about and what are their concerns, and really truly understand this. So I love that you're courageous enough to share those concerns. I think what you have to do is you have to balance out, hey, I want to speak the truth in love. I want to be honest. I want to be real. Here's what I believe. And then I want to release that this is ultimately your choice. And I've told parents,
right,
if your kids ultimately choose someone, even mm-hmm. if you don't agree, I still go, you have to choose that to have that relationship with your child. Mm-hmm. And so I've heard nightmares where parents boycotted, they didn't show up. And I, you know what, in the end of the day, this is my adult daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I, you have to choose. And if you're telling me this is your choice, then I will walk this person down the aisle. I've been honest. I've told you my concerns, mm-hmm. and I've got to leave it up to the Lord and to you. I would mm-hmm. tend to err on that side.
Absolutely. I say that a lot to parents, that, you know, voice it once, let them know how you feel in love. The relationship is foremost. But then if they continue to walk down that road and choose that this is who I am going to marry, then you're choosing to support their marriage relationship. It's so important that they have that support and that you're there to support the marriage. You know, it may not be your choice for them, but it is, like Greg is saying, it's their choice.
So
right,
you're going to get a copy.
We don't want to drive
wedge
between them, for sure, between us, right?
But you want to be authentic and real and go, this is, here are my concerns. And absolutely, you want to share those. You know her the very best.
Mm-hmm. And there is something about what Aaron said, you know, about making that point and then loving her, your daughter, like crazy, so that she sees that there's not a condition of your love based on your approval of whatever. I feel like that drops their guard a little bit, and then they're more open to maybe seeing things for themselves versus defending that person against their parents, you know?
And then you pray like crazy.
Yes, that, and ask everybody, you know, to pray.
Yeah.
Well, especially that God will bring in maybe someone else who will say the exact same things that you're saying, but your daughter maybe will hear that differently.
And Suzanne, I'm excited to get you a copy of Ready to Wed. It's just a fantastic pre and early marriage manual, and maybe that in itself will bring some truth to the surface. But thanks for that call today. Appreciate it so much.
Yes, thank you so much.
877-933-2484, 877-933-2484, talking to Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley today. So my question for you is, what advice do you have for someone just starting out, thinking of getting married or just starting out in marriage? Otherwise, if you've got a relationship question for the Smalleys, now's the time to give us a call. So we talked about that point number one is you understand that you don't need your spouse. Your job is to love, not to be loved. So right there, first and foremost, first love is Jesus. And second of all, to that point is that your spouse is a gift and not a source. So if I'm focusing on you better make me feel loved, then you see a good out when you don't feel loved. But the thing is, you're not always going to feel loved, even in the healthiest of marriages, right?
Right.
No.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah, absolutely not. I mean, if that's your expectation, because we asked a lot of couples when we started this project, why are you wanting to get married? Like, what is driving this? And, you know, often it's, you know, I want to be loved. We have fun together. And that's all great. But when you don't have the other perspective of really the true purpose of marriage is not about, you know, what I'm going to get out of this, but really what I'm going to give, but also what Christ is going to do in me in that process, that he's going to mold and change me and mature me and make me ultimately to look more like him. That's what the true purpose is, and really being clear on what the purpose is in marriage.
Excellent.
Yeah, for me, Susie, I think if I think about what is important to do to know that you're ready to marry, I think one of them for me is that you have to have a bigger vision for your marriage. Like what I've noticed is if your marriage is only about seeking pleasures in getting the right job or buying the right house or going on the right vacation or collecting stuff, I mean, if that's what we're about and excited about, then I just think we're missing it. I think there's something powerful when, see, here's the deal. Genesis 11:6, one of my very favorite verses, it's when the people, God created these people and they're building the Tower of Babel, he looks down and he's amazed. I mean, this is God saying that, wow, I'm looking at what they're doing and they're all together in the same city now. They're all speaking the same language. And when they're doing all this together and they're unified, then nothing for them is impossible. And to me, how that relates to marriage is that God created this amazing institution. He created this thing called oneness. It is the most powerful relationship force on earth. That unity in a marriage is so unique, such a powerful force, that God's vision for our marriage is that we're going to come together, 1 + 1, and we're going to equal 3. In other words, we're going to do something amazing with our marriage. So if we get caught up in all this little petty stuff and arguments and pursuing pleasures and collecting stuff, I think we're missing
living
the
small
power that, that God gave. Yeah, we're living small. Versus one of the, what Aaron and I have, we accidentally, I think, did this, but very early on, we talked about, hey, we want to be about counseling couples together. That's our marriage mission. And we've had 3 or 4 of these kind of visions that this is what our marriage is about. And that's what propels us to accomplish something bigger and better. And we went to graduate schools and it all made sense why we were doing what we were doing. And it doesn't matter what it is. I would just encourage that couple, develop a shared vision together of what you're going to do. Maybe it's we want to go on missions trips together. We want to go, you know, hold babies in an orphanage sometime. We want to lead a small group. We want to serve the poor. We want to do marriage ministry. We want to whatever.
Something beyond yourself.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm thinking of that Tower of Babel story. If you turn it around, too, that the negative connotation of that whole situation is the two motives that drove them were, one, to make a name for ourselves, two, to protect our interests. And that's why God scattered them, because it actually was a negative thing. I totally get what you're saying about the unity piece. But if you look at it from the other angle, that, too, goes back to kind of what Aaron was saying. If you show up in marriage for what you can get out of it and you make your choices based on self-preservation, it's a sure sign of implosion, isn't it?
Totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We got to take a quick break here, but last chance here to call in and talk with the Smalleys. But I will say, we're barely scratching the surface on our notes, so they got to come back very soon. But if you want to call in today, here's the number, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. And what's your advice for newly married couples or about to get married couples? Otherwise, ask Smalleys the question that you have on your heart today. When we come back, we're going to talk about what it means to understand God's purpose, touch on that a little bit more, and also how to manage conflict. Don't shy away from it. It's actually the doorway to intimacy. That's what Smalleys say. Don't go away. We'll be right back. You're not alone in this. If you're struggling in marriage, you got to know this. God is for you. And if he is for you, who can stand against you? Got some of my dear, dear friends on the show today, Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, because they fight for marriage. They fight for family. In fact, they've got a new book they're general editors for. They kind of wrapped their arms around some of the great experts and had them all contribute to this book titled Ready to Wed, 12 Ways to Start a Marriage You'll Love. And we've just scratched the surface of this great content. So they're going to come back, Lord willing, in the next few weeks, hopefully, to get them back. But we've talked about God's purpose for marriage. Aaron, you started to touch on that. Wonder if there's more that you wanted to say before we get into the whole idea of knowing how to deal with conflict. Any more you want to say?
Yeah, and again, it's knowing that marriage is really not about our happiness. Mm. There's much more to the true purpose of marriage, and our culture just continually, you know, seeds the idea of, you know, you're number one,
mm-hmm.
entitlement, yeah, you know, get what you want. And instead, in marriage, it's like Greg was talking about earlier, sacrifice, about sacrificing for this purpose who you consider so valuable that, you know, you're choosing to spend the rest of your life with them. And there's greater purpose to that.
Yeah, you know, Gary Thomas's book, The Sacred Marriage, you know, he talks so much about this, and I love that mm-hmm. book, that really God is going to use our marriage. So here's the hope, here's the confidence that God is so invested in us becoming more like his son, Jesus, that he's going to use this amazing relationship to help us to become more like Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a good thing. You know, maybe it doesn't sound so romantic or sexy or whatever, but the truth is that God is going to use your marriage to help shape you into the image of his son. And that's why I love his book title, that Sacred Marriage. Mm. It truly is a sacred thing, and we need to celebrate how God is going to use marriage in our life.
And one of the ways he does that to shape us more like him is in the area of conflict. And
yeah.
if you're not somebody who knows how to have conflict, or if you're afraid of it, or you look at it as an indicator that you married wrong, you're going to miss it completely. But when you think about people who know how to approach conflict, who are committed to the end game result, they actually do come through. It is romantic. It is sexy. Do you know what I'm saying? When you come on the other side of it, it's so worth it, because you know something deeper with that spouse of yours than you would know if you avoid conflict. And then as soon as it gets hard, you're gone. So I want you to speak to not only the importance and the necessity of conflict in a marriage, but how to deal with it. Greg, I'll start with you.
You know, I used to see conflict as such a bad thing. I was scared of it. I hated when Aaron and I were fighting, or when we were frustrated with each other. As a matter of fact, I would do anything and everything to avoid conflict. I would keep my mouth shut.
She's smiling over there.
I'm fully aware of that.
Okay.
Which I'm about to get into conflict right now. You know, James 1:2 says this. I think it's such a fascinating verse. It says, when troubles come your way, consider it an opportunity. One of the versions uses that word opportunity. And truly now in my life, I mean, I don't like conflict. I'm not going to go out of my way to pick a fight. But I really do see conflict now as an opportunity. I have an opportunity to learn something new about Aaron, something new about me, and something new about our marriage. I mean, I see that. I trust that. I know that that will happen. So instead of shying away from conflict, we've just learned over the years, how do we walk through it in such a way that we can get to all that good learning that we, that's in store for both of us? And we don't, I mean, there are times where I still do this really poorly. Does that surprise you?
I was just going to say, can you say that again?
There are times when Aaron does this really poorly.
There are, truly, but I liked it when you said it was you that did it.
Did I get that wrong?
Yeah. But you think about when a newlywed couple marries, when an engaged couple marries and they become newlyweds, that there's so much change going on. You know, the bride's name changes, maybe where their living changes, maybe their jobs change, maybe they move back to school, they're living with someone, you know, possibly for the first time. And so it's a lot of change, and a lot of change creates an environment that can lead to a lot of conflict. And it's so essential before you get married to really talk about, you know, and be equipped to deal with the conflict, because it's not a matter of if, but when conflict will start.
You want to add anything to that, Greg?
That was beautiful.
It was beautiful.
I feel like if I say
he's ready. He now is ready to conquer conflict in our relationship.
There you go.
We got into a fight last night.
Really?
On our way to a very small group.
Everybody, we get there and we're like, well, what did you guys fight about? let's just put it out there.
Oh, I love it.
But I tell you what, that at some point, as we were just sitting there watching this Jimmy Evans videotapes on marriage, at some point, I just remember looking at you and you kind of smiled at me. And I just remember softening, taking her hand, and just that confidence of going, you know what? We're committed for a lifetime, so we're not going anywhere. I hate these moments. I mean, I hate to feel disconnected. But even a simple thing is just a little handhold or a smile. Once we then got into the car, it was cool that we were at a totally different place. Our hearts were way more open. And I was able to say, you know what, man, I was an idiot. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do this. And she said, well, yeah, this is what
was going on for me. Can you say that one again? That was that.
Dude,
what did you hear him say?
How about an I'm just on alone next time?
Can you spell that?
I-D.
But the truth is, though, that it wasn't a huge issue. I think it was around just how to clean our house. We had some guests coming over, and she was wanting it done a certain way. I'm like, I don't think we need to do that. That was the issue, right?
And yeah, to mention my friend stops by and immediately goes, oh, what do you want me to do? I'll go down and clean the bathroom.
Yeah, well, I hate her. She one-upped me. I'm griping about it. I don't think we need to clean this. Hi, Aaron. What can I go down and clean?
Yeah, what can I do to help you?
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? It's like when you have a history of coming through conflict, these things don't rattle you so much. And this has been so good, and I'm looking so forward to having you guys come back. But in the meantime, I'm wondering, Aaron, if you would just pray for that couple that's hanging on by a thread over things that are absolutely solvable with a good fight. Wondering, would you pray?
Yes, Lord Jesus, we come before you, and I just lift up these couples that are listening, Lord, wherever they might be. Jesus, that you are the Lord of their life, Lord, and that you will just help them to not shy away from conflict, but to face it with you at the center of it, Jesus, that you don't say that we're going to avoid trials, but when they come, that, you know, embrace them, that we can walk through them in an honoring way to you and to each other, Jesus, that we can get to the other side of it. Lord, thank you for making marriage. As we started the program with in Malachi, you created marriage. We have an enemy, and I ask that the enemy is kept far, far away from these couples as they approach conflict and have those difficult conversations. We thank you in your precious and holy name. Amen.
Amen. Dr. Greg and Aaron Smalley, appreciate and love you so very much. Thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Susie.
Yeah, thank you so much. We love you too.
Looking forward to that time when you come back. Title of their book, again, is Ready to Wed, 12 Ways to Start a Marriage You'll Love. Now, guess what? You can be a radio missionary in just a little bit. The podcast of today's program with the Smalleys will be up. With a click of a button, you can send it out by Facebook, email, or Twitter. If you know friends who are dating, thinking about marriage, maybe they're engaged, send this show to them. I think it'll be very helpful. Direct them to the book, Ready to Wed. Fantastic. I'll leave you with this thought. Are you ready? The Lord wants you to last long and finish strong, and He is the one who will keep you strong to the end. Have a blessed day.